the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
And today's date is June 1st, 2023.
Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most still don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. Did you not hear the sound of that shofar? You need to get right now before it's too late. It's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the Holy City. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
And the phone number is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. If you have an emergency and need to speak with Dan, text him, let him, or call him. Text him, let him know you're going to call him on his cell at 316-619-4886, 316-619-4886. You can always find Breaking News, Wichita, about the Wichita Mission Church, the radio program, archives, and all of our contact information is on our ministry hub, which is prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
We are a live radio program which simulcast live internationally on some independent FM stations, four different MP3 streams, live video, audio on Twitch, DLive, Twitter, Rumble, YouTube, Bonebridge, and picked up by most every podcatcher out there. Let's thank our listener base.
And worldwide, places like Madrid, Spain, Kingston, Canada, Bradford, the United Kingdom, and in the USA, we have Gary, Indiana, Provo, Utah, Miami, Florida, Alexandria, Virginia. It was the largest group that listened to the podcast last week.
Right.
When it posted at branch.podomatic.com, that's branch.podomatic.com.
Okay, dear Heavenly Father, Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray radio not goes according to your will, not our will, Father. And please give everyone out there ears from which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, and your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. In Yeshua's name, amen. Song. I guess I need to say it.
Israel, Israel, by the great sea, borders from the river Nile to the Euphrates, God has given all this land to his servant. Moses seen this land of promise beyond the river Jordan. God gave to his servant Abraham. Doubt of it, arise a nation for all the world will see. Israel, Israel, God has chosen Israel. Blessing all their needs, they dwelt in the land of Canaan. where Jesus would be born. Israel, Israel, God has chosen Israel. Israel, Israel, by the great sea, borders from the river Nile.
Oops. Okay. We're here. Song by Brother Ben. If you have some original music, send it to me. If it's a, you know, a blessed thing, I'll play it. But anyway, I was just talking with my wife during the commercial. I guess you could call a song a commercial. I'm just advertising Yahweh's kingdom, right? Okay, but I was just talking to her about Biden. And he was at a Naval Academy today, I guess, and he fell down a couple of times. It's all over the news. And later they said he tripped on a sandbag that was on the stage, that he had to get directions to get up on the stage. Once he got on the stage, he had to get directions again. And I'm just so amazed as how, I mean, come on, guys, no matter how much you don't like Biden, this is really elder abuse.
It is abuse. He doesn't even know what he's doing. He probably doesn't even know his name's Biden.
Well, half the time he doesn't even know he's the president. You know, he calls, you know, Harris president or blah, blah, blah. You know, he's just not there. But what really amazes me is how is it so much of the world is just silent about it? Nobody's, you know, you'd think other world leaders and blah, blah, blah would be saying it. Well, I think those other world leaders know who's really in charge, and that's in it. I still believe it's Obama, and Obama was a plant put there by the CIA. And we're going to get into some of this deep stuff, state stuff tonight, but I'm telling you that it's just horrific. But, you know, things could be worse. You could be living in Canada. Canada, homeless in Canada, 1 in 3 Canadians say you should be allowed assisted suicide. Go ahead.
If you're a Canadian who has experienced poverty or homelessness, don't worry about it. Your fellow Canadians have your back. Nearly 1 in 3 of them are here to help hoping that the government will allow you to end your own life with the assistance of a doctor. Wait, what? Okay, yes, a recent poll on Canadians' attitudes towards MAID, medical assistance in dying, Canada's government-paid euthanasia program, found that 27% of Canadians are fine with those qualifying for MAID. Really?
MAID is the...
I know, that's the medical assisted in dying.
Okay.
Yeah. 28% of the thumbs up for those experience homelessness to qualify for MAID. 51% believe an inability to receive medical treatment should qualify as a reason for MAID. Wow. 20%, that's 1 in 5, were fine with MAID being handed out to anybody for any reason. Let those numbers sink in for a moment. A large percentage of Canadians believe poverty, homelessness, lack of medical care, or any other reason should qualify someone to be allowed to kill themselves with the help of a doctor or a nurse practitioner for any reason. What a callous view of human life. Sadly, such responses are consistent with a culture devoid of the fear of Yahweh.
Yeah, absolutely. So point being, so, you know, Canada is just, yeah, it's lost. It's being controlled by the WEF and, you know, the World Council on Foreign Relations. Anyway, that group of people, World Economic Forum, that's what I'm trying to say, the World Economic Forum, which, by the way, this is the people that want to—they're just nuts. They want to control your life, and this is part of what they want to do. They want to get rid of all the older people. You know, that is a fact. Israel just released a study that they had that, you know, absolutely not one person that was of good health young and of good health died of COVID in Israel from COVID. You know, that's something to think. It was all the old people directed at them, and it was the protocol that killed them. We're going to get into some of that tonight.
Yeah, what they really don't tell the people is it's really not a way out. It's not a way out. It's a free ticket to eternal hell, because that's where you're going. You, thou shalt not kill. You cannot kill yourself. You can't kill anybody. It's thou shalt not murder. Yeah, there you go. So it's not a way out. It's a free ticket to hell.
Yeah, absolutely. And let me give you this one. Now, you like Jamie Foxx, right, don't you?
Yeah, I don't remember names. I have to see faces, but yeah.
He's a black comedian, and I've never heard him say anything racist towards white people, and he's a pretty funny guy. Jamie Foxx is pretty hilarious. But Jamie Foxx was rendered blind and partially paralyzed after taking a COVID-19 vaccine jab that was demanded of him by a film studio. It was revealed that the entire media establishment is lying about Fox's condition in order to cover up the truth about vaccine dangers, and that Fox's own family members are covering for him and refusing to reveal the truth about the actor's medical condition. He was getting ready to star in a movie, and I can't think of the guy's name, a famous boxer, which we all would recognize his name. I'm just blank right now, but... he was going to play this guy in a movie. This is the movie we're talking about. Well, the guy was doing an interview on a podcast, and he let this slip. Otherwise, we wouldn't know this. But he let it slip, you know. And so the boxer told him, I don't think it was Sugar Ray Leonard. No, it wasn't Sugar Ray Leonard. It's another one. And the guy's still alive. I can't think of his name. He's really super famous, Frank. Bruce is over there trying to guess too, but anyway, stating the source was in a room with Fox in the hospital room. It was explained that he did not want the shot, but the movie he was on said he was pressured to get it. The blood caught in his brain caused him to be partially paralyzed and blind. And this is happening. And while it's sad, it is completely sad. And you know, I guess the guy finally, under pressure, did it when he chose money over his own, you know,
health. Yeah, he said, I don't want to do the movie. I ain't taking the shot, but yeah.
Yeah, Frank says a lot of money. But here's the point. It's going to take somebody like this getting this injured for people to actually come out and start talking about it. You understand what I'm saying? It's going to take something like this. And there has been so many people that have been affected by the shot. Bruce Willis, she had some kind of brain thing that makes his brain, makes him to dementia. But what is the problem? You know, looking at the time he was affected and things, it was probably from the shot. But you can see all these people that have suddenly died, actresses and different and actors, famous people, newscasters and other ones dying in the middle of radio programs, suddenly dying. This is from the shot. And believe me, and now they're talking about what the graphene made up is, the stuff that's in the shot, is like little nanobots, and they go over to people that have not had the shot. You have to take things like NAC, which is what something I take to get rid of it. But I take it anyway. So, moving right along, tell them about this.
Okay, U.S. embassies around the world have decided to fly the Pride flag for the month of June to commemorate the LGBTQI+ Pride Month. Okay.
Wow, I don't even know what all that stands
for. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, I don't know what, I'm not sure what the I or the plus sign is. But anyway, video...
They probably put the plus for anything else that they ain't figured out.
Well, I remember we did the one program where they was going to do the bestiality, but I don't remember what they were calling it.
Well,
where they wanted to add the animal thing to it, but I don't remember what it was.
Well, I bet the plus is just for anything they haven't thought of yet.
Yeah, and I don't know what the... Oh, I get it. I is idiot. Oh, wait a minute. And videos on Twitter... show the U.S. Embassy in Linda, Suvana, Dublin, Jerusalem, and many more have decided, all decided to host pride flag raising ceremonies.
Okay,
so
let's go like
one, that. That really surprises me.
Well, it's not Israel that's doing it.
Right.
It's our embassy, United States embassy in those countries.
Okay, that makes more sense. Yeah.
But you have to look at it. Look at this. You know, here you have, first off, the whole pride flag is stolen from the rainbow, which is a covenant between Yahweh and his people to say that we would never flood the, he'd never flood the earth again.
Right.
That was a, you know, a sign of the covenant, you know. So the devil stole it, that one enchantress what's his name? That prophet.
Dimitri Dillon?
No, the one that we're talking about now. Man, I'm the blank, complete blank today. That wrote The Harbinger.
Oh, Jonathan Kahn.
Yeah, Jonathan Kahn pointed out, and we played a little video of his a few weeks back on radio that talked about, you know, the enchantress, which was Ishtar, Easter, that she first took the rainbow as her emblem and just stole it away from Yahweh. But see, but here we are. We're flying that emblem of the enchantress now. That's, you know what I'm saying? All over the world and saying, this is what we represent. We kicked God out of the country. We're not one nation under God. Well, we're being one nation under many gods right now. And if people don't understand it, the gods are just demonic. That's what it is. It's demonic spirits, you know. We'll go into that in another program, and we have before. But my point is we're just bucking it right in the face of Yahweh. And so that's why things are allowed. This nation is under judgment. It's going to take real repentance to get over it. And pride, and he says, yeah, counterfeit flag. Like everything else Satan does is counterfeit. You're right, Frank. That's absolutely, absolutely. Okay. Well,
yeah, like my son pointed out to me yesterday, he discovered a song that was written by Mr. Rogers years ago, and he had it right. It was, and I'm going to look for that song, see if I can post it on my website. It's something about boys can only be boys, and only boys can be daddies. Girls can only be girls, and only girls can be mommies. And it's from Mr. Rogers, so if you want to look that up, go right ahead, because I'm going to.
Yeah, well, that it would just drive them crazy. It's a wonderful day in the neighborhood.
Yeah, back then.
Yeah. that's just insanity. Insanity. And then where did we get that, what was that, that blue, what kind of creature was that? You know what I'm talking about?
I'm not sure if you're talking about Barney. He was purple. And he tried to steal the rainbow, too. My kids quit watching Barney because I came into the living room when Daniel was like 3 years old. And he was telling the children on national TV that rainbows come from elephants. No, I'm sorry. Turn that off. You're not watching Barney no more. Rainbows come from God.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Well, anything to go against the Creator, you know, that's what it is, and it's what it's all about. But it's craziness, you know. People need to lift the veil from their eyes and look around. You need to read your Bible and then compare your Bible to the world, and you'll see right where we're at. People, you know, I was witnessing to somebody at the mission church, you know, this girl that comes in, usually laughs for her food. And she lives in a hotel across the street. She used to live next door to her. She's the Indian girl.
Oh, yeah, you know, that has three little granddaughters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she, you know, we've been talking about, because she's been reading through the Bible and been coming and asking me questions. And we were talking about what the world was going to be like, you know, and what it'd be. And I was explaining to her that it'd get much worse. And she's starting to see the Bible through, you know, the world through a biblical point of view. When I told her, I said, well, these things are abomination. These aren't going along. In fact, our conversation all started when she was worried. She came over and said she had a problem with people's, because she said the Bible said, judge not, but yet, you know, she saw all the evil or whatever. So I went through it and explained to her what judge not meant. I mean, there's a whole bunch else with it. Judge not, lest you be judged by the same, you know, thing. Get clean before you judge. But you are supposed to judge righteously. And the Bible talks about it all the way through. Well, I went that through that with her for a few weeks, and so then she started looking at the world from the eyes of being judgmental, you know what I mean? She, judging what the spirits were doing. And so then she wanted to know what would happen in the time of the end, you know, was it rapture? I said, well, the rapture is not, you're not getting out of here with the rapture. And I showed her Matthew 24, you know, we and had her read through it, and she came back and we talked about Matthew 24 and 25, which, see, she's starting to read the Bible now without somebody else telling her. She's just reading it. It's in plain English. It says, immediately after the tribulation in those days, this will happen, and this will happen, and then you'll see Yeshua coming, and so on and so forth. Well, she's starting to read the Bible through just reading the Bible instead of interpretations trying to make it fit. And it's starting to make sense to her, but it's also completely upsetting to somebody that's been told all their life that they're going to fly out.
Right.
And that things are, and also being told that all these things that she's been forced to accept, evil, are okay because we're not supposed to judge. So here's the point, folks. Just as with you as with this girl, you need to open your Bible and read it for what it says. You know, it will explain to you. Prefer, you know, I tell you to use a King James Version Bible. I know they're a little harder to understand for some people, but you for sure don't want to touch an NIV with a, you just burn those. But you can use a newer version, but I prefer King James Version, you know, the old King James Version. Read it. It's in plain English. It tells you what's going on. And if you got a question, feel free to call me or to text me or something. Okay. Well, I guess we'll go take a break. We'll come back. We've got some important stuff to talk about.
Yeah, you can find all of our contact information, radio program archives, mission updates, everything's at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. We'll be back in 4 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
In Genesis 41, tells a story of Pharaoh having a dream of 7 fat ears of corn, followed by 7 blasted ones, meaning there's 7 years of plenty, and then there was 7 years of famine following. We are now in 7 years of famine once again, starting September 25th of 2021. Joseph's Kitchen is about getting actual wheat berries, putting them through a mill, takes 30 seconds, putting it along with the ingredients into a bread machine, pushing a button, 2 hours, 20 minutes later, you have a nice steaming hot loaf of whole wheat bread. Most long-term storage food is from $9,000 to $10,000, one person, 1 year. At Joseph's Kitchen, it's 2 people, 1 year, about $2,000. Then you decide whether you want to have food for 1 person, 1 year, 2 people, 1 year, 4 people, 1 year, or 6 people, 1 year, all at josephskitchen.com. That's right, about $1,000 per person per year at josephskitchen.com. josephskitchen.com.
In this time of the social and spiritual breakdown of America and the world, in these prophetic end times, God is calling multitudes of Christians to the Ozarks and other safe havens around the world to survive so they can spread the gospel. The Ark Haven Intentional Neighbors Vision is to prepare Christians physically, mentally, and spiritually for these end times. Thousands are coming to the Ozark Mountains in Arkansas and Missouri, where even the CIA says it's one of the safest places on earth. The Intentional Neighbors concept allows Christian neighbors to own adjacent land to each other so they can aid and help each other. The community is exploding with nurses, a doctor, and other professionals, as well as many others. If you cannot afford to buy a house, you can rent a house. Call 479-502-1789. That's 479-502-1789. Or visit arkhaven.org. That's arkhaven.org. Tell them Pastor Dan sent you.
Thank you.
we're back. This is Pastor Dan and
Linda Catlin.
And you're listening to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, James chapter 2 says this. What does it profit, brethren, to all men say, have faith and has not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them not the things that are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God? Well, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Well, folks, it's the truth. You're supposed to not just pray for people. You're supposed to try to help them and fulfill your needs. That's just like, a man's about to walk off the edge of a cliff. You say, well, I better pray for him and stop it. Or do you get up and do a work and grab him and stop him from doing it? Faith without works is dead. You're supposed to act on your faith. And the things that you do by your faith, the things that you believe, is apparent. Yeshua said, you'll know them by their works. You'll know them by their fruits. That's what you would know them by. What is fruits? Fruits is works. That's what you do. That's whether you're kind to people, whether you feed people, whatever you do. Faith without works is dead. So, folks, you need to pay attention to that. But anyway, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. What's going on around there? Are you anything? How many people are we feeding?
Over 100. Well, we was under 100 Friday. I'm not sure what happened.
That was really weird.
Yeah, we still did 93. It was still 93, so.
Right, I know, but it was strange because, see, we were at the end of the month.
Yeah, that was the last of the month, the day before payday.
And some of them get paid on payday. It maybe they had somebody had something going on. There was a big beating event or something, because people do that randomly. You know, they will randomly just, you know, throw a thing and say, we're going to do something for the homeless, and they feed everybody. But the numbers are just getting crazy. Anyway, support us so we can care for the people the Father sends us. Men, women, and children from all walks of life that have had a bad break, come to us for help. We don't get any help from any government agencies. It's only folks like you that support us now that we are now in what?
24th year.
We started that when? Today.
Tomorrow will be our first day in our 24th year.
Yeah, absolutely. So 24 years we've been driving back and forth to Wichita, 120 miles round trip, taking care of the homeless and poor. Okay, come on. We're not just taking care of the homeless, but also the poor people in the neighborhood that we're in. So anyway, we are the last hope for so many. And folks, all of us, we're all responsible to care one for another as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where?
Your heart.
Of course. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. Airtime's not free, and donations keep us on the air. Tell them how they can donate.
You can donate online, by Cash App, or over the phone, by mail-in check or money order. And you can find all of that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
Okay, folks. This is one that... you know, I had heard about this when it was in the bill. This technology stuff was put in to the infrastructure bill that was basically passed by the Democrats. And I don't know if there's Republicans that helped it, but it happened before we had the House. My point, well, we did have the House. So there was Republicans that had to have voted for this too. But I know one senator in Texas is trying to put an amendment to get it stopped, and I don't think he, from what I can see, he hasn't been successful. Now, you might think, well, this ain't a bad idea, but when we get into the logistics of this, you understand just how bad of an idea it is. It's from it's SEC 24220, Advanced Impaired Driving Technology. Now, this is supposed to go into vehicles starting after 2026. I'm going to read you what the bill says, and don't worry if you don't understand, because I'll explain it to you. This is what it says. Advanced Drunk and Impaired Driving Prevention Technology. The term advanced, and this is right from the bill, the term Advanced Drunk and Impaired Driving Prevention Technology means a system that, A, can passively monitor the performance of a driver of a motor vehicle to accurately identify whether that driver may be impaired and prevent or limit motor vehicle operation if impairment is detected, and or B, can passively and accurately detect whether blood alcohol concentration of a driver of a motor vehicle is equal to or greater than the blood alcohol concentration described in Section 163A of Title 23 United States Code, and prevent or limit, and it's supposed to prevent or limit motor vehicle operation if a blood alcohol concentration above the legal limit is detected, or is a combination of, or C, a combination of systems decided in subparagraph. Sounds like a lot of hoopla. Everybody says, oh, well, they're talking about putting one of those things that you breathe into. But you're missing the words. It says passively. When they went in and debated about talking about this, I'll explain to you what passively means, and it's not at all what you think. Go ahead, read this.
Sam Ambuslamid, principal mobility analyst for Guidehouse Insights, said the most likely system to prevent drunken driving is infrared cameras that monitor driver behavior. That technology is already being installed in automakers such as General Motors, BMW, and Nissan to track drivers' attentiveness while using partially automated driver assist systems. The cameras make such a driver is watching the road, make sure that a driver is watching the road, and they look for signs of drowsiness, loss of consciousness, or impairment. If signs are spotted, the cars will warn the driver, and if the behavior persists, the car would turn on its hazard light, slow down, and pull over to the side of the road. Abusamid said breath analyzers aren't a practical solution because many people would object to being forced to blow into a tube every time they get into their car. I don't think it's going to go over very well with a lot of people, he said. Abusamid said breath analyzers aren't a particular solution because many people would object to being forced to blow into a tube every time they get into their car. I don't think it's going to go over very well with a lot of people, he said. The voluminous bill also requires automakers to install rear seat reminders to alert parents if a child is left in inadvertently in a back seat.
That's a real thing.
Yeah, a mandate that could begin by 2025 after NHTSA completes its rulemaking on the issue. Since 1990, about 1,000 children have died from vehicular heart stroke.
Heat stroke.
After the highest total in a single year was 54 in 2018, according to the kindsandcars.org.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
How can people forget their children's in the car?
Okay, well, that's a great thing, but let's go back to the main. And people do it all the time. You hear about it all the time, all summer. You know, I hear about it because I scan the news daily, hourly. Okay, but let's go back into this. Now, back in here, it says passively. Now, yes, right now, if you're convicted of a DUI, to get your driver's license back for a certain period of time, you've got to put one of these things in your car that you blow into that shows that you don't, you know, that you're not drinking alcohol. But they're saying passively, and the way that one person explained it, he said, well, they're not talking about those tubes because nobody wants to blow in a tube every time they get in a car. So what does that mean? What does all this hoopla mean? It means that when you get into your car, the car is going to, detect from the air if there's any alcohol in the air that you blow out, which, you know, how are they going to determine whether it's you or a passenger or whatever? But beyond that, passively means to where you don't recognize it, where you don't know it. So what's it going to do? This said infrared cameras. Yes, they're going to film you, and they're going to film your actions. You're going to be there's going to be a computer telling the computer everything you're doing in that vehicle. And so when you get into the vehicle, you're being monitored by the vehicle. Now, supposedly, they might try to say, well, this information stays within the vehicle and the vehicle's computer. Really, does it? Nothing ever stays where it's supposed to be. Could it be hacked and somebody get into it and see what your information is? Or are they going to turn, if, let's say it decides that you are impaired. Maybe you're impaired because you're a little dizzy or you're a little off that day and your actions don't mean it. But anyway, and so it shuts your car off and puts you over to the side of the road. But does it also notify the police department for them to come out and check you? Does it do that? Do they share this information? Does it share this information with the local, you know, with your insurance companies? Because if the insurance companies find out about it, you're immediately going to get what? Either rejected or, you know, so on and so forth. You know, get in trouble for it. But if they can monitor these actions and they're taking care of these actions, what else is it doing? You know, Frank says, well, does it have Wi-Fi capability? There's already vehicles that do. What is that one system? I can't think of it that's up there. But yes, they already have some of the capabilities. Even your old van has a Wi-Fi capability if we were to enact it.
My van that I drive now has a modem under the passenger seat.
Yeah, and it's, what year is it?
2012,
and so, you know, yeah, these things have Wi-Fi capability or radios, or they could send it by radio. There's numerous ways that they could send it, you know what I'm saying. Point is, they'll have that covered. So, but, you know, the Supreme Court has said, though, this is going to go to, I know this will be into, you know, go to this, end up back in court, because people are going to challenge this, especially seeing how the Supreme Court said that you, when you're inside your vehicle, you have the same rights as you have at your home, which means that illegal search and seizure, right to privacy, and those things are all awarded to you in your car. This thing invades your right to privacy. But just look, let's think about where their heads are at. Look how they want to monitor you. They want to monitor every little action that you have. They want to self-control. They want to control your car. They are trying to limit your right to travel, you know, which you do have a right. And I'm not going to go into the debates with people. In fact, some people have beat it. And they said they were not, you know, they didn't really have to have a driver's license. Some people have beaten that, but most do not. I'm not going to debate that. My point is you have a right to travel. They're trying to infringe on it. It's just like the electric cars being pushed on you. The electric cars that they're pushing on you, they have very limited range. You know, that stops, like I was saying to my son yesterday, we were talking about this in the car. Electric vehicle, they've got limited range. Now you can jump in your gas-powered vehicle, and as long as you got some cash in your pocket, you can drive to another country. You know what I'm saying? And so they want to limit your right to travel. In fact, they don't want you to have personally owned vehicles. That's part of the plan. And it's right there in the wording that they say, and they say it all the time. They want you to have public transportation and so on and so forth. In fact, the government right now is looking into programs to when they think that people in certain cities, especially rural communities, can't get around very good or whatever, they want to fund public transportation in rural communities and public places together and so on and so forth so they can control people.
Yeah. You know?
And so that's what's going on. I mean, you know, folks, we're rushed. We're in that time at the end. The world's in turmoil. You just don't get it. These things aren't good. These things are bad. Don't be brainwashed by all this stuff. Don't be brainwashed for it. It's crazy. Oh, and talking about brainwashing, go with this one.
EHS funding universities with taxpayer money to brainwash students into believing that Christians and Republicans are Nazis.
Yeah.
Wow. That's Friday, May 26th by Ethan Huff, Natural News.
Right. I'll get this one. The conservative watchdog group, Media Research Center, has obtained documents via Freedom of Information Act that is request showing that the Biden regime is, quietly sending American taxpayer dollars to universities so they can brainwash students into believing that Christians and Republicans are Nazis. Really? Funneling the money through a so-called anti-terrorism grant initiative, Biden and his henchmen are paying institutions of higher learning to look members of the Republican Party and those who trusted Jesus Christ for salvation into the same category as the Nazi Party. This terrorism tax force is engaged in an active effort to demonize and eliminate Christian, conservative, and Republican organizations using federal taxpayer dollars. That means your money, folks, said Brent Bozzella, the founder and president of the Media Research Center. Well, we have uncovered calls for criminal prosecution. The American people need to know that those who are abusing their positions and the federal government will be held accountable for their criminal behavior. Biden has already funneled $40 million via 80 grants into various anti-conservative and anti-Christ initiatives. The grant program in question is run by the Department of Homeland Security and is called the Targeted Violence and Terrorism Prevention Grant Program, or TVTP. It funnels taxpayer cash into various public, private, and nonprofit institutions, including colleges, universities, and even local county governments. You hear that? They're giving money. People, see, they're so greedy. The county governments say, hey, we can get a grant for this. We get the money, you know, blah, blah, blah. We'll use it for that, and we'll use it for... In other words, they're bribing politicians, and they're doing it. Why, what? Like, well, let's make our community better. We'll get all this money. Well, that's how the government controls you. The stated goal of the program is to establish or enhance capabilities to prevent targeted violence and terrorism. In order to qualify for a grant, applicants must be based in the United States and implement a U.S.-based program. So far, the Biden regime has awarded 80 grants through the TVTP, totaling just under $40 million. The lowest grant amount was just under $85,000, and the highest was over $1.1 million, with the medium being around $442,000. We know through the work of Media Research Center that TVTP grant recipients are doing just that, openly discriminating against conservatives, Christians, and other targeted demographics. Perhaps unsurprisingly, the TVTP was first launched by Barack Hussein Obama through under a different name. And we just found out, I just found out today that it was released, that Obama was under, was put forth a program that was backtracking on pedophilia in schools and was promoting pedophilia in schools, a program that Obama did. And believe me, folks, I believe Obama's still in on all this stuff. Okay. Anyway, it also far less obvious about the true intentions during the Obama days. Having only recently manifested its true intentions as anti-white initiative designed to ethically, politically, and religiously cleanse America of all right-wing Christians and their families, in essence. Among the many organizations tagged by the Department of Homeland Security as violent right-wing extremist groups that need to be terminated are these: the Republican Party itself, the Heritage Foundation, the American Conservative Union, Fox News. Fox News is doing it to themselves. Breitbart News, the National Rifle Association, Prager University, Tea Party Patriots, the Make America Great Again, MAGNA Movement, you know, us, Movement, the Pro-Police Blue Lives Matter Movement, the Christian Broadcasting Network, CBN. These are the institutions at the top of the pyramid, so to speak, while all the way down at the bottom are the run-of-the-mill neo-Nazi parliamentary groups and the daily, such as the Daily Stormer, pro-Nazi publication. All this is conveniently coming out at the same time the release of the Durham Report. According to the growing mountain of evidence providing that the Biden regime is engaged in illicit attacks against its political opponents, the question is, will there be anything done about it? Okay, that's devastating. But then I found this other one that really proves stuff, and this is shocking. And my wife hasn't seen it yet, but I'm going to let her read it.
Okay, Article 5, C3, 1.1.1, Oath of Office Requirement.
Okay, now stop. The oath of, what's Oath of Office Requirement?
president or any governmental office, anything in the Senate or the House or anything to do with people.
Okay, well, speak up. But okay, well, let's see what this says. But this is Clause 3, Article 6, Clause 3.
Article 5, Clause 3. The senators and representatives before mentioned and the members of the several state legislators and all executive and judicial officers, both of the United States and of the several states, shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support the Constitution. But no religious text shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States.
Okay, so you swear an oath to the United States and the Constitution. They just can't force you to say to Jesus Christ, okay, or to Satan or whatever. Okay, let's go. I'm going to tell you, I'll read it. This is from Natural News, and I did check this out. This is true. This is take your breath away when you think about it. Numerous Biden officials, including the Attorney General Garland and so-called Secretary of Defense, have no legitimate oaths of office in file. So you have two of the biggest people in power in the United States have no oath to the United States. You understand what that's saying? That's the Attorney General Garland. That's the guy that's part of all law enforcement. And the Secretary of Defense, that's in charge of defending our country, have no oath of office.
Wow.
This indicates they have no sworn allegiance to the United States of America and are merely acting as officials. They are imposters. In other words, legally speaking, their actions carry no legitimate authority. They are merely bluffing their way through office. It turns out that much of the Biden regime has sworn no loyalty to the United States Constitution or its people. Instead, their loyalties lie outside the United States of America with the Chinese Communist Party, CCP, or globalists who wish to see the United States of America utterly destroyed. This is why Mr. Austin, for example, is dedicated to the total destruction of the U.S. military. Only by destroying America's ability to defend itself can the CCP invasion of America succeed. Right now, listen to this, folks. Right now, hundreds of thousands of military-aged males who belong to the CCP, that's the communist movement, that's communism from China, are crossing the undefended southern border, positioning themselves for an activation day on which they will wage kinetic warfare against the people of the United States of America while destroying critical infrastructure such as refineries, power grids, bridges, and military bases. Mr. Mariokas, another official with no... Mariokas is the guy in part of the Department of Land Security that's in charge of keeping the border safe. Okay, another official with no proper sworn oath of office is committing treason by allowing the CCP to invade the United States of America with military operatives who will take part in this kinetic war against this nation. The takedown of America is a coordinated, treasonous, lawless affair that's being run by corrupt criminals who aren't even legitimate government officials. They are imposters working for an illegitimate regime that rigged the 2020 election and was never even voted into power by the American people. Okay. They have no sworn, there's no reason for them not to do that. You're supposed to swear the oath. You said it yourself. You know, all I did was had you read that one thing and you said, yeah, everybody's supposed to be sworn in, right?
Yeah.
Well, what if they haven't sworn an allegiance?
Well, then they can't be tried for treason because they have no oath to uphold the Constitution, so they can do anything they want to do like they're doing.
Duh. So
you think they're going to take an oath and then break it and be hung for treason? They can just do it with right in front of us and laugh at us. And we're probably from what I've heard, America's the laughingstock of the world right now.
Well, if we ain't, we ought to be. But, you know, it makes you wonder what is going on in the rest of places in the world, you know. But we do see that this wokeness and this globalism has taken over many, 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 many countries.
Oh, here's one you told me that really floors you, and it will probably floor people that don't know anything about it. Guess who just went woke? Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, that's what they're saying, and they haven't really had a response out of them since it was pointed out that they have a diversity officer, but we do know that the the guy that's in charge of Chick-fil-A, he was one of them that bowed down to the black people, you know, and said that, you know, we're under them and everything. So Chick-fil-A needs to be, you know, I'm done with them.
Boycott!
Yeah, I really do.
Go woke, go broke!
I do like their chicken sandwiches, and although their waffle fries need to be crisp, they used to, you could say, hey, can you make my waffle fries a little crisper? And they'd do it, but they discontinued that. And I really ain't been back much since they did that with the waffle
fries. I never thought much about them from the get-go, so.
Well, I know my wife didn't particularly like Chick-fil-A, but my son and I really like their chicken sandwiches, as do a lot of people. And the big thing, what drew most people, here's what you don't understand. Chick-fil-A stood up. The original guy that started it.
Christian Bell.
He stood up. Under great pressure for Christian values. So most of us that went there didn't go because of the chicken
sandwiches. Yeah, they went for the Christian values, and now they've got a transgender thing going on. So
Right. But so it was all about them being patriotic and being Christian is why most people went to them. And so you can, you know, maybe they don't have the best chicken sandwich, which was pretty good, but they were Christian. Okay, we got to get out of here.
Okay, you can donate online, over the phone, by Cash App, or by mail or check or money order, and you can find all of our information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. If you don't want to help with the poor, consider a radio donation. Airtime's not free, and donations keep us on the air. Actually, donations keep us running everything. So pray about supporting the size branch, because we need you.
Thank you. We must remember, folks, there is only one true God. Who is he? He is your father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sin. And he rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember what?
To always be a blessing to others and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Because when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you're praying for Messiah's return.
Yeah, amen, folks. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe. I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would please, please, please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you'd be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Till an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and
shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.